Titus chapter 1. So if you'd like to read tonight, you're sure welcome to do that. So all that are wanting to do that, we can line up here tonight and read Titus chapter 2. Right, so five verses apiece, my brother.
Titus 1 or
2? Titus 2. Titus chapter 2.
Titus chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed.
Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things.
Thank you, my brother.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Amen. Appreciate that. All right, Hebrews chapter 11 tonight will be the text in which we'll preach from. If you would, stand to our feet as we read the Word of God tonight in honor of Him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. As we go through Hebrews, I've been encouraged with that. We've been preaching a series called What Does Faith Look Like? And so tonight we're going to find out through Abraham, what does faith look like? And so we read verse 8 tonight through verse 10. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you tonight, Lord, for the reading of God's Word. I thank you for the songs that we've sung. I thank you for the prayers that have already been prayed about this service and about who may come. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for all that you've gathered here, that you've called out tonight to this place for this assembly. Father, for this church service. I pray you speak to every heart and every soul. I pray you touch the lost tonight, dear God, you'd save them. Father, I pray you persuade them, dear God, and convince them of their need of Christ and a Savior, a relationship, a reconciliation, a redemption to God. We pray tonight, Lord, for the saved, God, you'd help them, God, that they may find that loving Jesus tonight, dear God, is the only way to live. Living for Christ tonight, dear God, is the only gratifying way The only satisfaction we can find in this world is Jesus and Jesus alone. Father, I pray for the backslidden and cold and indifferent. Bring them home tonight. Draw them to you. For the sick and hurt and diseased tonight, Lord, I pray that you touch their bodies as the great physician you are. God, give them the strength and the health they need. Bless them tonight, Lord. Meet their needs, God, as we come together. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We see Abraham tonight. We see a snapshot. Just about three verses of his whole life is demonstrated here tonight. We see that in the way in verse 8. And we see that you're living by saving faith. And so there's a saving faith in verse 8. There is a living faith in verse 9. And there is a dying faith in verse 10. And all of that is faith that's required by every one of us that are saved tonight. A saving faith, a living faith, a dying faith. And so this is the faith of the Word of God. It's the faith of Abraham. Faithful Abraham. My, what a man that Abraham was. What an example that he brings to us here today concerning about faith and being faithful tonight. I want you to see tonight, number one, there is saving faith concerning faith tonight. And so all faith, you think, well, then faith is faith. Well, no, faith isn't just faith tonight. We know what the definition of faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's chapter 11, verse 1. But there's all types of faith tonight, and we're going to talk about saving faith first because that's what Abraham in verse 8 is speaking of. He talks about if you're going to be saved tonight, you have to have saving faith. And that saving faith comes by the Word of God, by the hearing of God's Word. And so tonight we have come to a place here where we can look at Abraham and enjoy it tonight because Abraham is a man that gives us the understanding about what faith is all about and what it really means. And so tonight let's look at it there in Genesis chapter 12. If you turn back with me, that's the story in which Hebrews chapter 11 is speaking of there in verse 8. So go to Genesis chapter 12 with me, and let's just begin right here. We'll go back to Hebrews in just a second. But I notice in this saving faith tonight, I notice that you're going to have to leave. In order to have saving faith, you're going to have to leave from something. There's nowhere in the Bible does it teach that if you have faith, you stay where you are. Nowhere. You have to leave from where you're coming from. That means there's a repentance that takes place. There's a change in your life. There's a change of your mind. There's a change of your direction. There's a change of how you think. There's a change of your heart. And so we find in chapter 12 of verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Now, in order for Abraham to demonstrate faith that God has put upon him, he's going to have to come out and leave. Just like you and I are going to have to come out and leave. We're going to have to leave our sin. We're going to have to leave our wicked ways. We're going to have to leave our attitudes. We're going to have to leave our disobedience. We're going to have to leave our stubbornness. We're going to have to leave the way that we were, the way we thought, what we believed in, what we put our faults upon, what we put our what we leaned upon, what we trusted in. All those things got to go if we're ever going to have the faith of Abraham. And that faith means to leave. And so God said, "Abraham, if you're going to have faith in me, you're going to have to leave. You're going to have to go out." Now, we see that again in Matthew chapter 16. So keep your finger here. Go to Matthew 16, verse 24 with me. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. I want to read you a verse here, and I want you to show you in verse 24. It says, "And then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." What does the Lord require of one who's going to be a disciple, or one who's going to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? What does he require that he leaves? He deny himself. He has to leave himself. He's got to say to self, "You're no longer important. You're no longer whom I'm going to trust in. You're no longer who I'm going to lean on. You're no longer who I'm going to follow. I have to leave myself. I've got to deny myself. I've got to crucify myself. I've got to mortify the deeds of my flesh. I've got to let go. I've got to leave my old man. Is that not true tonight? And so we find it. He's telling him, leave himself. Look at chapter 19, verse 21. Chapter 19 and verse 21. We find that Jesus says unto this young man, he says, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Jesus is telling this man, if you want to be saved, if you want to live by faith, if you want this faith that Abraham has and the faith that all that are born again have, then you're going to have to take your God and you're going to have to leave it behind. What was his God? Well, his God evidently, Jesus told him about that, go and sell what thou hast. It must have been riches. It must have been things. It must have been others. It must have been treasures. It must have been gifts. It must have been gold and silver. Whatever it was, the Lord says you're going to have to take what that is, your God's, what you're trusting in, you're going to have to let it go. You're going to have to leave it. And so we find another verse, like in Mark chapter 1 and in verse 16. Mark chapter 1 and verse 16. So he says, leave himself, leave your God. But then in chapter 1 of Mark, verse 16, he says, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Jesus said unto them, come you after me, and I will make you fishers of, become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. What did they have to do? They had to forsake their nets. That was their way of living. That was what they were relying upon. That is what their security blanket was. That is what their whole life was based upon. They were fishermen. And they had ships. They went fishing every single day. That's how they ate. That's how they made a living. That's how they provided for their home. And the Lord Jesus said, you're going to have to leave that in order for you to come to me. And so we find there's a repentance involved in faith. And Abraham had the same repentance. He had to leave where he came from. He had to leave his father. He had to leave his family. He had to leave him behind. But not only do I notice there's a leaving involved, but there is a coming involved. A coming. And so he said, come unto the land. So he told Abraham back in chapter 12 of Genesis, he says, you're going to have to leave your land, leave your fathers, leave your family, and you have to come unto a land. So there's a leaving, and then there's a coming. That word, that coming there would mean a belief. You're going to have repentance. That's a changed heart and a changed mind. You're going to have to lay down your sin, lay down your life. You have to give it up, and you're going to have to come to Jesus. You got to come to God. And Abraham had to come unto the land. Go back into Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. He had to believe God. He had to believe God that God said, listen, you have to leave these, but you got to come here. And Abraham, of course, with the man who demonstrates faith tonight, verse 24 of Matthew, he says this. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Deny himself was repentance. That was believing. Coming, come after me. So you got to deny yourself. You got to leave yourself. You're going to have to say no to you, and you got to come to Jesus. Abraham had to say no to his family, no to his land, no to all that he had, all the religion that he had. His daddy was a man who was a pagan. He worshipped the moon, and you'll find if you study the historical facts of that. And then he had to turn away from his dad's religion, turn away from his dad's house, his dad's family, and he had to go unto God. So he had to come unto God, just like Matthew says you're going to have to deny yourself. You got to come after the Lord Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. He said to that young man, he said, if thou wilt, verse 21, thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come. Come. Come where? Come to the Lord. Come to Jesus. Believe in me. Look at Matthew. Mark chapter 1 and verse 16 or verse 17. Mark chapter 1 and verse 17. And he says, Jesus said unto them, come ye after me. And so they had to forsook their nets there. They had to come to Jesus. So there's a leaving and there's a coming. Abraham had to leave and Abraham had to come. Right? Let me see thirdly. So you have to leave, you have to come, but then there you have to follow. We find that's doing. And so there's a repentance involved in salvation. There is a believing involved in salvation. But there's a third thing involved in salvation. Doing. Do you know that Jesus says more about following Him than He does about believing Him? Did you know that? Did you know that the Bible teaches more about you not only believing Jesus, but if you do believe Jesus, that you will follow Jesus? The Bible says to be hearers of the word only and not doers. You've deceived yourself. So tonight, you can believe and be deceived, but you can't believe and do what you hear and be deceived. Doing is what's required. It's not being saved by works. The Bible says we're created unto Christ. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. James said that by faith, amen, there's no works, there's no faith. And so we prove our lives unto God by our life that we live, not the life we say that we are. Abraham's faith was not at all determined about what he believed or what he came out of. He didn't say, God said, you're saved because you came out of the Ur's of Chaldees, Abraham. And you're saved, Abraham, because you went to the land, or that I told you to go unto the land. But in verse 4, the Bible says in Genesis 12 that he departed. So he did what God said for him to do. And that's faith tonight. Faith is not only believing something in the Bible. Faith is not only hearing something in the Bible. Faith is doing something in the Bible. Like, for example, we use just a simple one tonight. For example, children, obey your parents. I'll guarantee you, everybody in this room knows that the Bible teaches that you are to obey your parents. I mean, we say, raise your hand, everybody raise your hand. And I would say, number two, do you believe that? And I would say that everybody in this room would say, yeah, I believe that. I mean, that's what the Bible says. It must be right. It must be true. But until you do it, are you really one who has faith of it? Until you put it into action, until you obey your parents as God says you obey your parents, then you are fake. Then you're not real. You say you're a believer. You say that you have faith. But you don't want to obey God's word. You don't want to put God's word into your life. You don't want to be action and activity. You don't want God's word to come alive because you want it to be dead by you not doing it. But friend, when you put it alive and do as it says it does, that shows forth the faith that you say that the Bible says you have. Amen. And tonight it just is so simple, but people make it so difficult. I mean, the word of God has to be done. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, follow me. If you're going to be a disciple of mine, you got to follow me. He says in Matthew 19:21, he says to the young man, he says, listen, you can go sell what you have and you can give it to the poor and you'll have treasures in heaven, but you're going to have to come and follow me. Is this true? Oh yeah, you can repent. Oh yeah, you can believe, but you're going to have to follow what you repent. In what you believe. What did John the Baptist say? John the Baptist said this, to do works unto your repentance. If you repent of alcohol and you say, Lord, I'm sorry for drinking alcohol. I'm sorry for disobeying your word. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived there, whoever takes of it is raging and deceived thereby. And so we find that drinking alcohol, a friend, you become raging and you become a fool and you become unwise. And so you say, Lord, I'm sorry for drinking alcohol. But then the next day you go back and drink alcohol. There's no repentance in that. There's no doing with that. And so we find tonight that If you're going to repent of alcohol, that means that you have a changed heart and a changed mind of alcohol. If you go out and cuss and you say, Lord, I'm sorry for cussing, then you're going to show forth the fruits of repentance of not cussing. Does that make sense tonight? Somehow, some way, we get confused about this thing about repentance and about that we repent of it, but we keep on doing it. Do we? That's not repentance tonight. Repentance is not repeating the sin over and over and over and over. There's no repentance in that. And so we find many a times in relationships, they say, well, I'm sorry, I said that. Well, then the next day you say the same thing. There's no repentance in that. You're being sorry, and you know, everybody's sorry. I remember one time somebody said, I'm sorry to me. I said, I know you're sorry, now repent. You know, there's a worldly sorrowness that Paul speaks of there in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I think it is. And he talks of a worldly sorrow, but when you come to a godly sorrow, that leads to repentance. And so tonight we find in the Scripture that follow me. This is salvation, a saving faith. There's a repentance, a leaving. There's a believing, coming. And then there's a doing. And that tonight is following. We find there in Mark chapter 10 with me in verse 28. Mark chapter 10 in verse 28. Jesus said to his, there in Mark 1, he said to James and Peter and John, follow me. He went to Levi. He said, follow me. And everybody had to follow him and whoever believed by faith. Mark chapter 10. And there in that verse 28. The Bible says, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Now, does it look like to you at this point here that Peter understands what faith is? He says, I left all. Yeah. And then I come to you and now I'm following you. That's the very evidence of faith. I got faith in Jesus. How do I know I have faith in Jesus? Well, I left where I was. I came to him, and now I'm following him. So that's just what Abraham did with God. And that's just what Peter's doing. But look what Jesus said. He says, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there's no man that hath left house, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands, for my sake, for the gospel's, that he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions in the world to come, eternal life. You're telling me tonight that's doing. For Peter said, I did, and we left all, we fled all, and we're following you, so what do we get? He said, whatever you've done, you get fourfold. Jesus is saying, listen, it doesn't matter what you gave up. It doesn't matter what you fled from. When you come to me, you've gained now and you gain later. Amen. Hallelujah. Saving faith of the Lord. And so we're grateful for that. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, the Bible says that Abraham was called to go. Let's look there back into our text. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. I get a little excited when I start talking about faith and what it means and how people have destroyed it, how people have distorted it, how they have made faith of their own rather than the faith of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, we see by faith Abraham when he was called to go. So there's that leaving. He had to leave. He says, into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance. That's that coming. And he obeyed. That's that doing. And so you see leaving, coming, and doing. In the Scripture, he went out not knowing where he went. That's faith. And so he left. He had faith leaving. He had faith coming. He had faith doing. Faith. Saving faith. I pray tonight you have saving faith. Number two, I notice not even saving faith, but I notice living faith. Living faith. I notice in verse 9 it says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Now that word sojourn there, it means this tonight. It means residing as a foreigner. As a foreigner. Residing as a foreigner. Sojourn. Another word that will describe that would be a stranger. So what basically the Lord is saying about Abraham was he was just a sojourner. He was just a foreigner. He was a stranger. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says this, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." So here's another word added to this. So you got stranger, you got pilgrim, you got foreigner. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, you can read it here. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, embraced of them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." And so tonight, you and I are going to, as Christians, live on this earth. We're going to have to live it by faith. And the way that we live it by faith is that we live it because we are a pilgrim. We are a foreigner. We are a stranger. Amen? In other words, we are somebody that's come from another country. In other words, when you get born again, when you get saved, the Bible says that you have the mind of Christ. Number two, it says that you take on the divine nature of God. Number three, it says you are now indwelt with the Holy Ghost. Right? And then number four, it says that you are now the temple of God. So there's a lot of things that's just happened to you when you get saved. You're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. Amen? So with that being said, you're going to live now on this earth. You're going to live it by faith. And that living faith is that you're just a pilgrim here. You're just a stranger here. You're just a foreigner here. In other words, you come from another country, and you're just passing through. But it also means that you're going to another country. You're just passing through. Not that you're from one, but you're going to one. So from one, going through to one. The bottom line is this world in which we live is not our world. It's not where we settle down at. It's not where we put stakes in. This world is not what we desire to be our house or our home. We're just sort of on loan here. All that we have, we can't take with us. All that we make, we spend. Even the children that God's given us is a heritage of the Lord. They're all on loan, and God gives us responsibilities and accountabilities to train up and to train our children in the way of the Lord and the nurture and admonition of the Lord tonight. Because, see, the children belong to Him. And so tonight, we don't have nothing. We can't even do nothing. We can't even accomplish nothing. And all that we do will just fade away. And so tonight, as a Christian, we understand that. We don't try to put stakes down right here. We don't try to do buildings that will last. And we don't want and don't care to have our names broadcasted over the radio. And we're not looking to have our names put upon streets and buildings. We are not as important as the world thinks that they are tonight. All we know is that we come from another place. And we're going to another place. And so right now, we're just kind of in the middle. We're just moving on, just like Abraham. Abraham was sojourned. I mean, listen, he just kept moving, he kept going. He's coming here, he's coming there. Now look what Jesus said in John chapter 17 about the world tonight and about us. John 17, some remarkable passage of Scripture concerning the world and us tonight. Tonight, if you love the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. Tonight, if this world is your home, then you don't live by faith. If this world is a place where you want to settle in, and this world is a place where you're going to find satisfaction and contentment in, you don't know Christ. You don't know the Lord. If all you care about today is about having a job and getting a home and having children and having a future and putting up an inheritance and having a retirement and then having a lake house and having a beach house and having a maybe a summer house or a winter house. And all you care about is just how you can live and what you can do. Tonight, you know not the Lord I'm speaking of. Living faith. It's just a faith, as Jesus says right here in John chapter 17 and verse 14. I have given them thy word. The world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That's what Jesus is saying about us. In order for us to live by this faith, we have to say that about us. If Jesus says that about us, we have to say that about us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 5 says, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. And so 1 John 5 tells us that there is a language of the world, and then there is an ear for the world. Tonight, those that are Christians, those that are strangers, those that are pilgrims, those that are foreigners, we're not really concerned about the fashions and fads of this world. We're not really interested in all the dress code. We're not interested in all the highlights. We're not interested in all the verbiage. We're not interested tonight in all that goes on with our ears perked up so that we can learn all of the world and learn everything of the world so the world can thrill us and the world can move us and the world can be whom we look to and look for. Our hope is the world. Friend, listen, that's not true for a Christian. It wasn't true for Abraham. Do you know that God said to Abraham, Abraham, do you know how many stars that are out there in the galaxy, in the world? And they're just innumerable, right? That's what he said. He said, I'm going to give all, that's how much land I'm going to give to you. He said, hey, look over there, Abraham. Look how far you can see. Look over here and look over there and look over there. Abraham, as far as you can see, I'm going to give you that land. Hey, Abraham, seed will multiply. You'll be a father of nations. Did he not say that? And God's promise held true, and it is true today. But while Abraham was living, there was no place he was permanent. Is that true? He didn't have a house up in Bethel. He didn't have a little side place that he goes up there in Egypt and kind of stayed for a little while. Listen. Abraham owned no land. The only land that he owned, that he bought, was a piece for his wife to be buried. That's it. And yet tonight, living faith is being a sojourner. And that's what's wrong with the church today. They've got too much in stake. They've got too much of this world. This world has too much of them. Listen, friend, they can't move freely. They're too bogged down with debt. They're too bogged down with expenses. They're too bogged down with responsibilities to this world and for this world. Listen, tonight, we that are strangers, we that are foreigners, we that are pilgrims tonight need to be able to move just like that. Is that true? We should be able to have to, if God says go, we need to go. If God says do, we need to do. If God says I need you to give that, we ought to be able to give tonight. Be free and at liberty. And just like a stranger and a pilgrim and a foreigner. And we're not under no obligation of the world. And we're not under any kind of accountability to the world. All we are is accountable to God. And tonight, we move according to Him. Sojourners. Living by this faith called the living faith. So, residing as a foreigner. Number two, I noticed, remaining faithful. I notice that Abraham and his living faith, he lived in such a way as a foreigner, a sojourner. But the Bible says in verse 9, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. I notice that he remained faithful during that whole period of time. Now, you say, okay, well, I guess he was perfect then, I guess. No, he wasn't perfect. And neither are we. And neither are any of us tonight who don't sin or don't have sin tonight. And so you can still be faithful tonight and not be perfect. You can still be faithful tonight and not live a sinless life. Because if that requirements was to be faithful, to be sinless, none of us would be faithful, and Abraham wouldn't either. And so tonight we find that Jesus said in the way of the wilderness, remember he was dealing with the devil, he said this, he said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what it means to be faithful tonight. Is that our lives are living upon every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This Bible is what we be faithful to. And if we were faithful to this Bible, then we're faithful. Amen? There's a lot of people that are faithful to their wife, but they're not faithful. There's a lot of people that are faithful to their families, but they're not faithful. There's a lot of people who are faithful to their job, or faithful to their church, but they're not faithful. But you can't be faithful to God's Word and not be faithful to your wife and faithful to your family and faithful to your job and faithful to your church. But the faithfulness is the Word of God. That's what we're faithful to. Amen? And that's what Abraham was faithful to. He said, the Bible says there in that verse 9, with him of the same promise. All the promises of God, everything that God promised Abraham, he was faithful to. So I want you to notice a few things, though, living on the promises of God. Living on the Word of God. Leading with the promises of God. Leaning on the promises of God. Let's look for just a minute. He was living in tents. That's what the Bible teaches in verse 9. He lived in the tents, in the tabernacles. He didn't have no permanent fixture like you have tonight. You have more than Abraham has right now. Every one of us tonight. Tonight you get to go home and you get to walk in a door and open it up and you get to lay on a bed or you get to lay on a couch or you get to lay someplace. We have air conditioning or heating and you have a restroom and you have a roof over your head and you got air conditioning and you got all these amenities and all these things. You got running water. You're going to take a bath. You got soap and shampoo and you got deodorant and you got comb, you got makeup, you got earrings. I mean, on and on and on. I can go all night talking about all we have. Abraham and Sarah had none of those. And they're faithful. And tonight we find they just lived in tents. We find they were surrounded by strangers. You know, everywhere where Abraham went, he knew nobody. He knew nobody. A lot of people say, well, I can't be faithful because I don't know nobody. That's not a criteria to be faithful because you don't know nobody. You know, kids don't want to go to different schools. They say, I don't want to go to a different school because I go to a different school. You know, I don't know nobody there. Well, that's not a criteria for not being faithful. I don't want to go to another church because I don't know nobody. That's not the criteria to being faithful. I don't want to go. It's everywhere Abraham went, they were new. He didn't know them. So he was surrounded by strangers. He was living in tents. He was also having no permanency. Everything about Abraham was temporary. There was nothing about Abraham that Abraham could say, okay, I can just settle right here. Never. But he was faithful, though. I want you to notice a few things about Abraham and his faithfulness. He started with God. Look at chapter 12. Of Genesis. Go back to Genesis here quick. I'm going to go kind of fast on this because of time, but I want you to at least see the gist of what I'm trying to say tonight. So Genesis chapter 12, verse 6, the Bible says, and Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thee, thy seed will I give this land. And they're building an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence in a mountain to the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. He started out well. I mean, you got to start, right? And so his faithful walk with God started out well, building an altar, praising the Lord, giving the Lord sacrifices, just worshiping with God, talking with God, fellowshipping with God. I mean, my, what a great relationship there was on the very start. The next thing you know, there comes a famine, and he goes to Egypt. I'm not going to read it to you, but it's the next chapters, next verses, verses 10 through 20. And what happens in Egypt, he gets there in Egypt, and he gets worried about Sarah, about being so beautiful, and how the Pharaoh is going to take her from him. And so he tells Sarah, just to tell her that a lie, a half lie, I guess it would be, that you're not my wife, you're just my sister. And then next thing you know, God sends plagues upon Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, why would you do things such to me like this? Why did you tell me that was your wife? And why did you say it was your sister? And said, now take your wife, take her, and go thy way. And so Pharaoh commanded all his men concerning him that they sent him away, and his wife and all that he had. Now, there was a famine that came. Instead of Abraham saying, I'm going to stick with God, I'm going to stay with God, I'm going to just bear this out with the Lord, and I'm just going to stay with. No, he just goes to Egypt. Well, every time you go to Egypt, you got to go down. And it's always south. Egypt always represents the world in the Bible. Every time you see Egypt, you can just put world on it. And so now Abraham, Mr. Faithful, has decided to go to Egypt and then tells a story and gets in trouble by Pharaoh. It didn't go so well. But the proof I'm trying to say was, is Abraham was living by faith, but he still made mistakes. He still made bad decisions. All right? Living by faith, or a living faith. Next thing you know, the Bible says that Abraham finally gets his mind back together and gets his act together. And then in chapter 13, we find that he's coming back to the very beginning where he started. It says there in verse 4 of chapter 13, under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. So he ain't went anywhere with God. He's right at the beginning where he first started. He should have never went to Egypt, but he did. And now he's right back where he first started. So now we're getting started again. And we do that all the time. We're doing good with God. Then also we make a bonehead decision. We make a rash choice. We do something that we say, man, what happened to us? Why did we do something like that? And then we come back to God. All right? A living faith. And we say number three. And so, or four. He's moving forward now. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after the lot was separated from him, lift now up thine eyes, look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and thy seed forever. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. So now we see him back with God. Now we see him walking with the Lord. Now we see God speaking to him. He's going forward. Then Genesis chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, we find a fight for, or maybe life's battles, life's troubles. The next thing we know is we find Lot being taken over, in verse 12 of chapter 14, and they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, his goods, and departed. So now Lot has been captured. Now Lot has been taken. Now Lot is in a dangerous place. Well, I would say to probably any of us in this room right here, if we had a loved one or a friend or a family member that was in a tough spot, a dangerous spot, a difficult place, that I think that all of us tonight would fight that battle. Right? You can live by faith fighting battles. Abraham, verse 13, and there came one, escaped, and told Abraham the Hebrew. He dwelt in the plain of Mamre, Amorite, brother Eshcol, and brother Aner. These were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, pursued them unto Dan. He divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left of Damascus. And he brought them back the goods, also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. So Abraham went out there, fought for his family, fought for his nephew, fought for his brother's son. He fought for what was right. He brought it all back. And now Abraham has secured all that. I'm talking about living faith. I'm not talking about living faith and you got to be pushed over all the time like a little sissy. I'm not talking about being a doormat for everybody to walk on. I'm not talking about just being there and all you are is just a substance that everybody can just look through and spit over. No, no, no. Living faith is taking a stand for what's right. Living faith is standing up against other bullies, standing up against wrong and unrighteous and say, no, that won't go, that can't go. Again, I will stand, I'll do all that I can to stand. I'm not saying get ugly, I'm not saying get mean, I'm not saying to do things unchristian, but I am saying that living faith, there comes a time when we might have to fight. Is that true? And so we find a starting place, we see him go to Egypt, got to get out of the way, he comes back to the very first again. Next thing you know, we find him, the Lord speaking to him again, and everything's working forward. He's fighting this fight. After this fight, we find the blessings of life. We see Melchizedek, the king of Salem, come, and he just gives unto him, and he brings bread and wine, and he blesses him, and he blesses the Father, the Most High, of the possessor of heaven and earth. And so you see a great worship there. And the next thing you know, Abraham giving tithes of all that he has unto Melchizedek, and which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a great time of worship here. So the living faith is worshiping as well. Living faith, there's some dreams of Abraham, chapter 14 and verse 17 to 20. We find the blessing, but in Genesis 15, verses 1 through 4, Abraham asked the Lord, he said, verse 3, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. He's asking for a seed. He's asking for a child. So living faith is dreams too. Amen? Living faith is having some visions. Having some, man, I'd like to do this. I'd like to have that. I'd like to do this. I'd like to do that. So they're living by faith, it's a part of that too. Then I also see that there are some pressures of home. Again, Abraham took on Sarah, and she said, you know, here in this chapter 16, and said, you know, you don't have a son, Abraham. Won't you take on Hagar? Won't you have a son by Hagar? You know how that went. Right? Here, Abraham again, faithful Abraham. Him and Sarah got hooked up. Next thing you know, he marries Hagar. Next thing you know, they have a son named Ishmael. Next thing, when Ishmael is born, now God said about Ishmael, he said he's going to be a man that every man is against, and he's against every man. Today we find in the Middle East, they're still there, and they're still fighting Israel. Has not ended. There's a consequences to sin. And so as we live by faith, we find that making choices and making mistakes and even sinning against God, we got to live the consequences of that. Living faith. This will make sense tonight. I'm talking about just a living faith. We find, lastly, there's a fulfillment of the promise. Chapter 21, you don't have to turn there, but in verses 1 through 3, they have Isaac. I mean, they're in their 90s. Who has children at 90s? Some of y'all might, I don't know, but we don't hear that much. So there's the promises that God just fulfills His promises. So living faith in His promises. And lastly tonight, thirdly, verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 11, we find there is dying faith. Dying faith. Not only saving faith, living faith, but dying faith. We see that in verse 10. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I got to go quick. Number one, dying faith is the expectation. Abraham, from the day he got saved to the day that he died, had an expectation. He looked. That word look there, it means to await, or it means to expect, or even to receive. So he looked for a city. He looked for a city. I mean, even though he was out as a sojourner, he was looking for a city. He wasn't looking for nothing permanent here. He was looking for a city. He was awaiting. He was expecting. See, a dying faith tonight, when you get saved and you live by faith, and when you're about to come to the death and dying, that faith will be there too, and you'll look for that city. See, right now, we're not dying so to be. I mean, we might We might all die tomorrow. But nobody's told us that we're dying right now. But I'm looking for a city, aren't you? So when that time comes, I'm still looking for a city. So there's an expectation. My whole Christian life is an expectation, looking for a city. Number two, not only the expectation, but there's an excitement. He said that there's a city that has foundations. Now that's important because to Abraham, nothing was permanent. And a city with foundations is a place of permanence. Man, I could just imagine in Abraham's mind, I'm looking for a city who has foundations. I haven't had no foundations in all my life. I've lived in tents here and tabernacles there and moved here and moved there and went on here and went over here. All this, oh, but one day, excitement in my heart, I'm going to come to a place of permanence. There's a place of permanence, that city. He's talking about heaven, of course. But it's a place of permanence, but I know it's a place of assurance. See, he won't know. He's always been here and there and yonder, but he's going to come to a place because he's been expecting that. And it's a place of a foundation that I can have assurance. Oh, I've got permanence. But then thirdly, I see it's a place of inheritance. He's been told about an inheritance, inheritance. And he said, man, I'm looking for that city which have foundations. But not only is there an excitement or expectation and being excited, but then thirdly, there is an enjoyment. He says, whose builder and maker is God. Builder and maker is God. In other words, God's heart is. Wherever this city is heaven. Wherever these foundations are, heaven. You can mark it down. God's the builder of it. And God's the maker of it. And if God's the builder and God's the maker, guess what was there first? His heart. God's heart is there. You're not going to build or make anything without your heart. God's heart is there. Boy, that's enjoying. Say something else that's going to be there. Is God's heart is there, but God's mind is there. If you're going to make something and you're going to build something, you got to think first. Right? I mean, you got to put it together. You got to put your mind to it. You're going to have to put, I mean, even Jesus said, hey, if you're going to build a house, you got to count the cost, right? If you're going to go out to battle, to war, you got to count the cost. So even Jesus was saying that you're going to have to think. Well, if you're going to be a builder and a maker of a city, your mind is there. Your heart is there. I tell you, the third thing that's going to be there is your hand. A maker and a builder, there's going to be a hand there that made it and built it. And then I say, number four, there's going to be His presence is there. His handprint is all over heaven. His heart is all over heaven. Oh, His thought and mind's all over heaven. His presence is there. Oh, can I say lastly, His people's there. Enjoyment. Builder and maker is God. Dying faith. Dying faith. See, there'd be no more sojourning for Abraham. He's home. He's home. Oh, there'd be no more dwelling in tents anymore. No, he didn't imagine. There'd be no more looking for a city. He's in heaven. This is what faith looks like. Saving faith. Living faith. Dying faith. Do you have saving faith? Have you repented? Have you believed? And are you doing? Let me ask you another question. Do you have living faith? Are you enduring? Are you finishing? Are you completing? They ask you thirdly tonight, do you have dying faith? Are you expecting? Are you excited? Are you enjoying? Someday, one day, heaven. Oh boy, what a man Abraham was, showing us forth what it is about faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love you, church. May the Lord bless you. Let's stand on our feet here tonight.